Hello, I'm Alan Truex with Truex Sports Report, and I have with me Mark Robertson, our college football writer.
How's it going, everybody? Thanks for listening today.
Mark, you're coming off a really great season of bowl picking. You were 14-3 for the bowl games, 82% against the spread. Really amazing performance. I've never seen anybody do that well for that many games. How do you explain it? What happened for you that you were able to come up with that kind of a performance?
It was all in the matchups. I was looking a lot at the college playoff matchups between Michigan State, Alabama, and Clemson and Oklahoma. I knew that Clemson had the best quarterback in college football, and they were an underdog going into that game, so they were an easy pick for me to beat Oklahoma. And Alabama has more depth than any team in college football. Their style of football just overpowered Michigan State, who I don't think was very creative on the offensive side of the ball when it comes to passing. So that hurts them when they're playing a really physical big team like Alabama. And those were the two biggest games I was looking at outside of the national championship.
Well, Mark, this week you've got an article very interesting about kind of a forecast on the college football season that's going to be taking off here pretty soon. And you kind of divided it into contenders and pretenders. So who do you see as the number one contender for the national championship? It's usually Alabama. Is that the way it's going to be again this year?
I think that's how it's going to play out. They've only had one regular season loss in each of the last four seasons. I don't think they have a single regular season loss this year. They've had a number two recruiting class this past season and three number ones in 3 years before that. So the depth is there. The talent is there. There's another QB battle going on for Nick Saban, but that's never really been a problem for him. He's got Lane Kiffin in, who's spiced up the play calling on the offensive side of the ball. And when it comes to the late season games, I'm looking at game 9 at LSU on the road. The difference between Alabama and other SEC teams is that they might be two or three deep at a certain position, like a LSU or Georgia might be two or three deep. Alabama's got that fourth guy everywhere, at every position. And that's something that holds true throughout the playoffs and eventually will get them a national championship, is that depth.
All right. What about do you see any... your biggest pretender, I guess you could say, a team that people are just vastly overrating. You see anybody like that?
Well, if you look at the historical statistics, it's the Oklahoma Sooners. I've done the math, and when Oklahoma's ranked in the top 10 to begin the season, they've finished 15 or worse since 2011. And this season, they're projected to go inside the top 5, and I think they at least have 3 conference losses. Looking at their schedule, they start out with Houston's first game of the season in Houston at NRG Stadium. That's going to be a tricky one with Tom Herman and Greg Ward Jr. at quarterback. And I think they'll have trouble with them, but not necessarily lose the game. It's game 3 versus Ohio State. I really think game 3 is going to highlight how good Oklahoma is going to be this season playing Ohio State at home. They've lost Cardale Jones, they've lost Braxton Miller. It's up to JT Barrett, the sophomore, now to perform. And without Tom Herman there calling the plays, it looks a little different. But everyone forgets what a great job Urban Meyer has done so far at Ohio State, recruiting-wise, and they still will be tough. I think the spotlight's just more on Michigan and Harbaugh at this point. But that's going to be a very, very difficult game for Oklahoma to win. And what I'm really looking at as the conference challenge for Oklahoma in terms of conference play is game 4 at TCU. That's going to tell us a lot about who this team is, if they can beat a high-powered TCU offense. Bram Kohlhausen is supposed to be very good. I have my doubts, but TCU is a strong team and has always played Oklahoma tough in the past. And then they follow that game up versus Texas in Dallas at the Cotton Bowl. And I think the Longhorns are going to be very different than they were last year and a strong contender to win the Big 12 this season. So Oklahoma has a tough road ahead to stay undefeated this season going into the college football playoff.
Well, we're sitting here in Houston, so let's just stick with the Big 12 a little bit. A lot going on there. Really interested in that opener, University of Houston against Oklahoma, and I think the Cougars are probably going to be about a 10-point underdog, and you think they're maybe not likely to win the game, but going to at least give them a probably do better than 10 points?
I like the over more than I would the 10-point spread. Houston is a tough team to play, but I don't think they have much on the defensive side of the ball. Herman's more offensive-minded, just like his predecessors, Sumlin and Art Briles. So I think that U of H can and will put up a lot of points, but their defense is going to be a sieve for Oklahoma. It just depends on how ready the Sooners are and capable of putting up points. Baker Mayfield returns to lead the offense. And he threw 36 touchdowns, 3,700 yards last year, 68% completion percentage. It's hard to argue with that. Oklahoma will put up points. My concern with the Sooners defense is the secondary. So I would say between 20 and 30 points for each team, I would put the over-under at around 60, and it might be a good look at 60 points or below for the over.
Very interesting. University of Houston, they're getting a lot of attention as possibly joining the Big 12 and this realignment of the Big 12. You think that's going to happen? Houston's going to be in the Big 12?
Well, I think the biggest thing there is the money that the athletic department brings in and the consistency of its programs. The football team has never been able to reach a level of consistency that I think the Big 12 would be comfortable with. While they've picked up a lot of momentum lately, Herman there and Ward playing well, a big bowl win against Florida State, I think that U of H is a nice addition, but I think the football program's going to back off in years to come. It seems like they've gotten solid coaching from Sumlin and Briles in the past, but to replenish that pipeline, you need another great coach, and there just aren't that many out there. I don't think that you can easily replace a Tom Herman or an Art Briles.
So why do you have Herman on the way out? You just think he's going to get so much money from somebody that UH, even with this being
right,
an oil center, they're not going to be able to keep him?
That's what U of H has been. It's been a farm school for head coaches. They spend 2-3 years at the farm, and then they head out to a great team, an A&M, a Texas, a Baylor. I can definitely see if Charlie Strong struggles this year, Texas trying to hire Herman away. They have definitely been lacking on the offensive side of the ball, and I know personally that Texas fans would love to see that pick up.
Well, let's get to another point. Let's look at the Longhorns. You're a recent graduate of the University of Texas, and so am I. And I'm kind of thinking this is a crossroads year for Charlie Strong and the Longhorns. I mean, I just don't think they can afford to have a losing year here. What do you think?
Well, the whole key is Shane Buechele, the freshman quarterback incoming from Lamar Arlington. He has to have an outstanding season. He showed great poise, ability to deliver the football with accuracy in the spring game this season. And the defense is going to be excellent, led by Malik Jefferson. So there's no doubt in my mind that the defense will pick up. It's just the offensive side of the ball. Charlie's had two great recruiting classes, top 10 classes, back-to-back. Picked up some nice recruits from the Baylor fallout and Devin Duvernay, one of the top wide receivers in the country, and got some necessary and much-needed speed on the outside. You're going to have a great running game with Chris Warren and Dante Foreman. I think the most important piece to this puzzle is the schedule. Game 1 at home versus Notre Dame. Your toughest game is going to be Game 5 versus Oklahoma. Your hardest road game is Game 4 at Oklahoma State. And then you get both TCU and Baylor at home late in the season, Games 8 and 12. Texas's schedule is going to really benefit them, especially down the stretch. I think if Strong can keep his team together, Buechele emerges as a leader, Texas is going to have a very, very strong team this year and an outside shot at winning the Big 12. I think 9 wins are definitely possible. That's just the way the schedule stacks up. I think this team is going to be much improved from last season and prior years, and Charlie Strong will stay and keep his job at Texas.
I thought watching them last year that a lot of the problem was that Charlie Strong seemed to have a disorganized staff. You know, he was trying to have three people participating in the play calling, and obviously what happened is to hire very good assistants, which he did, he had to promise them things. He had to say, okay, you come here, you coach the offensive line, but we'll let you call a few plays, and you come here, you coach the receivers, you'll have input. And it seemed like too many chefs in the kitchen here, and people didn't seem to know who was in charge. And wasn't that a kind of a confusing situation there for the team?
It was, and I think he's learned from that. He's gone out and hired the offensive coordinator now, Sterling Gilbert. He's going to bring a much more balanced offense to the Longhorns and put these running backs and hopefully Michelle at quarterback to better use.
Okay, I can't talk about the University of Texas without also bringing in the Texas A&M Aggies. A lot going on there. Kevin Sumlin, I've always thought, was a very good coach, but things seem to have gone off the rails with him. I mean, quarterbacks bailing out of his program, and then this latest incident where the Aggies assistant coaches suspended for 2 weeks for making sexist comments when they were having what they called a chalk talk, the idea being to bring more women fans into their program. So they go to Kyle Field, they have this little get-together with these young women, and they have, they rewrote the Aggies hymn with lyrics like, "We are putting down our dish towels and taking off our gloves, no more Lysol or Cascade." And then in a misguided attempt at humor, the coaches were issuing pass blocking rules with things like spread your legs and bang him hard. And when Kevin Sumlin heard about this, he wasn't actually out there, but when he heard about this, he was appalled. And so he suspended two coaches, Jeff Banks and Jim Turner, who were responsible for this craziness. Well, what struck me was Turner already had a record on this. He was the offensive line coach for the Miami Dolphins when they got involved in that bullying incident in 2012, and the Wells report was just all over Turner because he, among other things, he was accused of taunting a player for being gay and giving him a blow-up male doll as a Christmas gift. So here you've got a guy who obviously isn't very gender sensitive, and you bring him in here to A&M, and so it seemed like it's no surprise that there would be a problem here. So I don't know, what do you think is going to happen there at A&M? I mean, what's going on?
The biggest thing for me is the locker room. Losing Kyler Murray, and now you brought in Trevor Knight to the program, it seems unsettled. There's just a sense of uncertainty at A&M at the moment, and Sumlin has been the offensive guru. He was hired to lift the offense, and he's had some great recruiting classes since he's been there, but since Johnny Manziel has left, they've been lacking on that side of the ball, and there have been strong inconsistencies with their play, especially in conference. I think a big problem with this team this year is going to be the schedule. You have road games against Auburn, Tennessee, and Alabama. I don't think they get out of this without three, four losses this season, and a mid-level bowl game is what I see for A&M, and that's best-case scenario.
Are they going to be hurt by this rise of the University of Houston? Because, you know, A&M is recruited heavily here in Houston, and now they've got UH looking like a national power of sorts. So how does that portend for the future for the Aggies?
It absolutely hurts. Their relationship with recruiting has gone way down. They started with a couple great classes, like I said, early on in Sumlin's tenure there, but they've since lost all their momentum. Going into the SEC, they thought that they would pull recruits from states like Louisiana, Georgia, Florida, Alabama, but really the SEC schools have come into Texas and recruited strongly on their home turf, on A&M's home turf, and A&M has consistently lost that battle. Texas has gained momentum back. U of H now does have a share of Texas. Baylor has lost a lot, but TCU has gained where they have lost. So I think the landscape of Texas recruiting is slipping away from Texas A&M quickly, and unless they decide to start winning more games, it's going to get even worse.
That's interesting. So they get into the SEC, and now the SEC sort of gets into them, and they maybe come out worse in the exchange. Huh?
That's what I'm thinking.
Well, that's interesting, Mark. Thank you very much. I want to encourage everybody to check out our blog, read the rest of it. Mark has a really interesting story in there looking at the college football season coming up, and there's a lot of other interesting things in there, too, for you to read. So good luck, everybody.